Hi, this is Mac of Mac's List. Find Your Dream Job is presented by Mac's List, an online community where you can find free resources for your job search, plus online courses and books that help you advance your career. My latest book is called Land Your Dream Job Anywhere. It's a reference guide for your career that covers all aspects of the job search, including expert advice in every chapter. You can get the first chapter for free by visiting maxlist.org/anywhere. This is Find Your Dream Job, the podcast that helps you get hired, have the career you want, and make a difference in life. I'm Mac Pritchard, your host and publisher of Mac's List. I'm joined by my co-hosts, Becky Thomas and Jessica Black from the Mac's List team. This week, we're talking about three things you must do if you want to find a job faster. Nobody enjoys a long job search. To speed things up, many candidates put more and more time and effort into a job hunt. Our guest expert this week is recruiter Jim Stroud. He says, if you want to find your next job faster, you need to work smarter. Jim says there are three steps you can take now to find your next job. He and I talk later in the show. Many companies today offer jobs that allow you to work from your home or other locations. And if you'd like to find one of these remote work jobs, Becky has a list for you. It's a new report, and it lists employers that post the largest number of remote work jobs in the last year. She'll tell us more in a moment. You see a job online that you want. That's the good news. The bad news? The employer posted the position 3 weeks ago. Should you still apply? And when do managers actually start interviewing candidates? Those are our questions of the week, and they come from listener Candace Thomas of Portland, Oregon. Jessica shares her advice shortly. As always, let's start the show by checking in with the Mac's List team, and Becky is here after having spent the previous week poking around the internet, and she does more than that.
Nope, that's what I do all week long, looking for resources.
9 to 5, yep. Monday through Friday. Mm-hmm.
I only find one, though, one a week.
Just yeah, one.
The internet is a big, big place.
It is a big place.
So it takes a while to sift through it all.
Mm-hmm. And you
I'm
do
exhausted.
Have, yeah, and you've got like a helmet and lights and pickaxe. Yeah.
Nooks and crannies.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah. Just, you're like
those
the...
Gold sifters.
Pans.
Oh, yeah. Wow.
Yeah.
I've got this like really good mining imagery going on now.
Panning for gold.
Yeah. Sounds good.
Poking around caves, spelunking. Yeah. So what have all that time and effort yielded for us this week, Becky?
Well, now you really set me up for like something grand.
It is a good one.
I'll do my best.
I like this resource.
I do too. So this week I have a resource from FlexJobs, which is a job board that offers remote or telecommuting or sort of flexible work options. And they created this list. They create this list every year. It's really great. It's called 100 Top Companies with Remote Jobs in 2018. So we're in 2018. I know we're well into it by this point, but this is still a really helpful resource for anybody who's looking for remote work all over the world. So basically what FlexJobs does is they analyze all the data from their job board each year to create a list of the top companies who are offering remote work. So this list came out in January, but I really wanted to get it out there for anybody who's looking for jobs that allow them to work from home. Companies that are on this list from last year are still offering lots of remote work options, and these companies are also, you know, probably on that cutting edge of understanding that workers want some flexibility, they want some ability to work from home. There's a broad variety of jobs. So some jobs are like totally 100% telecommuting, you're working from home all the time. Some are like, you know, one day a week, or you can sort of set your own schedule. So there's a lot of different variety out there, but this is a great starting point for people who are like wanting to enter that sort of remote work area but don't know where to start. So these companies are all great places to sort of check out when you're looking to, you know, find more flexible work. The other thing that was interesting is they analyzed the data even further and cover the industries that are in the top as far as remote work jobs. So do you guys have any guesses of the top industry that offers remote or flexible jobs? Technology? Mag, any guesses?
I would guess call centers or customer service jobs.
So number one was medical and health.
Oh, interesting.
Oh, wow.
Number two was computer and IT. So you were close, Jessica.
All right. Was I even in the top 10?
I think that call center stuff is probably in all of these different industries, right?
So you're throwing me a bone.
You're probably okay.
Yeah.
I know I worked in a call center back in the day and there was a lot of remote workers.
Okay.
So yeah, I think that's very common.
When there's a lot of need for virtual assistants and things like that with entrepreneurs and things like that that often are just, you know, part-time work. And so it's often utilized by remote workers.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's so interesting to look at some of the jobs on FlexJobs and just see how many different types of roles and industries and specialties and even like the companies, like the top companies on the list are like big companies like Amazon and things like that. Mm-hmm. But there's also a lot of like smaller companies that I've never heard of that are on this list that are hiring tons of people for flexible jobs. So, you know, if you're sort of in that area of like looking for something more specialized and there's a lot of options out there.
Well, I think that it's only going to get more robust. Those types of opportunities are only going to get more and more visible and plentiful in all of those words because of, you know, now with things like the cloud it's still wonderful to be able to be in the same space as your coworkers because there is something we said about, you know, the dynamics of the team, you know, relationships and things like that. But now you can kind of do work from wherever because, you know, technology is so great and a lot of things can, there isn't a need for like a physical server in your office anymore
to
be able to utilize those files and things like that. So anyway,
yeah,
it's a good resource.
Yeah. I like this resource because even if you don't see a company in your town that's on the list, that category of industries give you clues about employers in your area that you might contact. And in the long run, they don't even have to be in your town if it's remote work.
If it's 100%.
So terrific tip.
Yeah.
Well, thank you, Becky. And if you've got an idea for Becky and you want to get her out of the internet search business 8 hours a day, 5 days a week.
It's a rough life.
Yeah. Let her surface and find her desk. Write her because she's waiting to hear from you. And she would love to share your idea on the show. We all would. Her address is becky@maxlist.org. Now, let's turn to you, our listeners. And Jessica, you've been dragging around the Maxlist mailbag all week.
That's right.
It's getting bigger and bigger every
week,
isn't
it? Becky's is an online resource, and mine is just a physical bag of physical letters that come
stamps from all over the world.
I wish that was true.
I know. I wish it
they're
was true,
They're all emails.
Too. They're
let's
all
not,
emails.
Let's not
you do
lie
get
to the
listeners.
The
occasional voicemail.
Yeah. We do. Yeah. We do. Yeah, we haven't ever gotten a physical piece of mail with a question, so if anybody wants to do that,
Please, we would celebrate it.
Please let me know. Yeah.
Google us. Our postal address is on the web.
It is. Downtown Portland. Mm-hmm. So, this week we have a really interesting question from, well, they're all interesting every week, but this question comes from Candace Thomas in Portland, and she did email her question, and she says, here's the good news. I just found my dream job posted online. The bad news is the job was posted 3 weeks ago. Is it too late to apply? How quickly do employers start interviewing candidates after they post a job? So first of all, Candace, that's so wonderful that you found a job that you identify as your dream job, because I think that that's the hardest part. We talk about that a lot of, you know, just boiling down what is your dream job is often the hardest part. So once you've discovered that and you've found it posted and it's still active, that's all, those are all great things. So you're right. 3 weeks ago is a little bit long ago, but it's not too late at all. employers usually start interviewing candidates right away, but the most processes are on a rolling basis. And so most employers will give in the job description a closing date of their applications, or you can kind of just budget about 30 days. And maybe that is also because we have a job board that is, you know, the jobs are active for 30 days. So I may be basing that on that. But I do think that about 4 weeks is when most employers want to close. You know, you don't want to have your job description open for too long. So so I think you're still in the right window. So apply as soon as possible. But really make sure that you explain, number one, why and how it's your dream job. Kind of really make the case for that this is not just any job for you. This is really what you're sort of quote unquote meant to do. But especially focus on why you're a great fit for the organization and what you can do and will contribute for the organization. So making sure to focus on those things. It's not just don't focus just on this is my passion and this job will fulfill me, but focus on the employer's needs and how you can be a great fit for them. And so there is a chance. I just want to give you another side of this as well, that there is, I do think that if you get on this right away and send it in and make a great case for yourself, that you have a really good chance of landing this job. But there's also a chance that you may not land this job. And that's okay. It's not the end of the world. I also believe that there will be another job like this that will be a dream job for you as well. So if this doesn't work out the way that you hope for this particular job, don't give up. I also would recommend in that process, start making connections. Send in your application, do all of that, but start making connections both in that organization, if that organization as a whole is someplace you would like to work, but also with other people doing the same type of work. If you can identify specifically, Candace doesn't mention what the job is, but you know, reaching out to other people that are doing that same type of work and making those connections so that when there is another job like this that opens up, you'll be much more well-positioned to land that dream job. And also, you know, you can demonstrate yourself as someone who is kind of walking the walk and talking the talk about how this is your passion and things like that, that this is something that you are doing despite the fact that you are not able to land that dream job for pay, but you're still going to contribute and kind of do that either on the side or volunteering or things like that to make sure that you are still working towards that goal. So do you guys, either of you have any feedback for Candace about how to ensure that she can get her foot in the door even after 3 weeks of the job being open?
Yeah, I mean, 3 weeks is like you said, it's not no time. It is probably a little bit later than I would recommend getting into the process, but yeah, it's still not too late. It's highly likely. Well, it's possible that the employer hasn't found anyone that they really like yet.
That's what I was going to say is that we hear from employers, not all the time, but we hear from employers that, you know, want to extend their job posting because they've gotten applicants, but they haven't found the right person. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it's definitely not too late until you get that word back that says it's too late and you're not the right person. But
yeah.
I didn't mean to cut you off. Sorry.
Oh, no. That was my point, really, was just that, like, you don't know what's going on from the employer's perspective. So all you can do is your best in your application. And really, like you said, sell yourself to the employer and show them why you're the perfect person for this job. And, you know, show your excitement, but also, like, you know, talk about how you're going to solve their problems
relevant
and how
skills,
you're ready to go right away and all that good stuff. But yeah, I think she should definitely go for it.
Yeah, I agree. And if you're anxious about it, one thing you can try is call the employer and say, hey, I see you posted this position 3 weeks ago. Are you still accepting applications? Mm-hmm. And they may tell you, we are, but interviews have begun. Mm-hmm. But then you know the odds that you're facing. And I think your advice, Jessica, about focusing on, you know, your challenge then is how do I stand out? And mm-hmm. what you're encouraging her to do, which is to talk about, to position herself as a problem solver, is something so few candidates do, and that will make her stand out. So that's really good advice.
Yeah.
And because if she does that and the process is still open, it increases the likelihood that she will get a call.
That's right. That's right. And I don't know. I just want to reiterate that because I've been in this position before where I've found a job, posted online, and I'm like, this is my dream job. This is exactly what I want to do. And then it doesn't pan out to land that job. But then it's, you know, sometime soon I find another job that is just as exciting to me and just as relevant to my skills and interests and all of that, that is just as fulfilling. And so I just want to reiterate, don't focus too much on this one particular job being the end all be all, because this is not, you can still find another job that's going to make you just as happy.
Yeah.
Just in case. I wish you all the best. I hope that it works out, but just in case, you never know.
Yeah. Sometimes a job slips away, but that doesn't mean that there won't be others, sometimes several dozen other great opportunities.
Absolutely. And it doesn't mean that there's anything wrong with you or anything like that. It just may not be the right one. So yeah.
Okay.
Keep it up.
Excellent advice. Well, thank you, Candace, for the question. And thank you, Jessica, for that great counsel. If you've got a question for Jessica, please add to her physical mailbag that she drags down the hall every week.
Yes.
Or even better.
It's like a Santa Claus bag.
Yeah. And it's blue. It's on brand. But send her an email. Her address is jessica@maxlist.org. And we'd love to get a voicemail from you, too. You can call the Job Talk hotline. That is area code 716 Job Talk. Or just post your question on the MaxList Facebook group. However you do it, if we do use your question on the show, we'll send you a copy of our book, Land Your Dream Job Anywhere. And we'll be back in a moment. And when we return, I'll talk with this week's guest expert, Jim Stroud, about the three things you must do now to find a job faster. I meet thousands of job seekers every year. People who struggle to find meaningful, rewarding work that matters. I find that many of these people make the same mistake in their job search. It's a fatal error that makes the hunt for work longer and harder than it needs to be. What's this critical mistake? People don't have a clear job search goal. You might think it's wise to apply everywhere, but the more you narrow down your job search, the easier everything gets and the happier you will be in your next gig. Stop chasing every lead. Instead, put all your energy into the opportunities that you really want. Of course, setting your goals is easier said than done, especially when all you know is what you don't want to do. That's why I created a new resource that can help. It's called Finding Focus in Your Job Search. This free step-by-step guide will help you figure out what you want in your career and in your next job. To get Finding Focus in Your Job Search, visit maxlist.org/focus. Again, go to maxlist.org/focus. Now let's get back to the show. Now let's turn to this week's guest expert, Jim Stroud. Jim Stroud serves as the global head of sourcing and recruiting strategy for Randstad Sourceright. He's also consulted on recruiting for such companies as Microsoft, Google, MCI, Siemens, Bernard Hodes Group, and a host of startups. Jim is also the host of It's All Recruiting podcast and the author of the book, The Number One Job Hunting Book in the World, Job Search Strategies for Unemployed, Underemployed, and Unhappily Employed People. He joins us today from Atlanta, Georgia. Jim, thanks for coming on the show.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me. Yeah.
Well, our topic this week is something I know all job seekers care about. Nobody wants a job search to go on forever. We all want to find our next job faster. Before we dig into that, Jim, let's set some context here. How long can people typically expect to spend on a job hunt?
Oh, that's a tricky question, which I can answer by saying it depends. The market fluctuates. Some jobs are always in demand. Some other jobs may be going the way of the dodo bird because of automation. And then there are some jobs that are constantly evolving because of technology. So it all depends on what you do and where you do it. Where you do it, meaning that in some locations, for example, let's say you're looking for, software developers in California, it's a highly competitive market. So you're going to have a higher salary and more offers. But if you are in, Peoria, for example, and you're trying to find the same type of job, if there aren't as many companies vying for that particular skill, it's going to take longer for you.
And where we are in our careers matters too. Sometimes if we have more experience, can that mean that we're going to face a longer job search?
Again, it goes back to it depends. I think that the more skilled you are, that certainly works in your favor. But a lot of times some companies need a lot of soldiers as opposed to generals. And they may say, I might get over better with a few more soldiers than I would a few more generals. They'll be easier on my budget and I'll be able to go a little bit further that way. But again, that's not a one size fit all kind of answer because it all goes back to it just depends.
Okay. Well, let's talk about job searches. And I know you've got many tips, ideas that people can use to speed up a job search. Let's start with your top one. What's your number one suggestion for how people can find that next job faster?
Sure. And I could preface that by maybe stepping back a little bit on your first question. I've been laid off probably twice since I started my quote unquote real job, not counting Burger King and a few other jobs when I was in college and so forth. And in those times, both of those times were during a recession. And so the first recession, I was out of work for maybe a month. And then the second recession that I experienced, I was out of work for 2 months. And those were during times when the economy was really rough and where a lot of my peers had been out of a job for 8 months or maybe even longer. And so I did a series of things, which I put in my book, but one of the number one things that I did was that I positioned myself to be found. As a recruiter, I know how recruiters think and where they go to look for people for different opportunities. And so I just sort of put myself in that mindset when positioning myself to be found by my work. And this is what I mean. So as a job seeker, your first thought may be, well, let me post my resume on Monster or on Dice or some other job board and just wait for the calls to come in. And that is something that a job seeker must do. It's a necessary evil, if that's even the right word to say, but something that you must do. But it is not the last thing you should do by any means, because as a job seeker, you post your resume out there on those job boards and you figure recruiters will see it eventually and call you. But that's not the case. Only those recruiters who pay for those services will see those resumes. As a job seeker, you don't think about that. But as a recruiter, we certainly do. So let's say I work for Company X, and because of our budget, I have access to, say, maybe Monster and maybe Dice, but I don't have access to CareerBuilder because it's not in our budget. So if you have your resume only on CareerBuilder, then I'm not going to see your resume. And not only me, also other recruiters who might not have a budget for that particular job board that you've placed your resume to. So the first lesson is post your resume to several job boards. Okay. Secondly, when you post your resume exclusively to job boards, again, it's a disservice to you from the standpoint that only those recruiters who are paying for those services will see your resume. It works to your advantage to put your resume out on the web where all recruiters, no matter who they are, can see it for free. Now, the question may be, how do you do that? Several ways. One way is to maybe create a blog, which you certainly can do for free. There are lots of services out there to let you blog for free. One of them is WordPress.com. And what a blog is I'm sure people listening may know, is sort of just like a website where you update information on a periodic basis with the most recent stuff on top. You may be thinking, okay, I don't have time to blog, or I'm not really a writer. It doesn't matter. All you got to do is start up a free blog. You can have service like WordPress, post your resume there, and boom. When a recruiter does a search on Google or some other search engine to find free resumes, which recruiters do, and I know that recruiters do because I train them to do that, and I train recruiters to do this all over the world, how to find free resumes and people online. So if you post your information on the blog, recruiters who are looking for free resumes can see your information. Now, the recruiters that will see that would be all recruiters. Those recruiters that work for large companies, those recruiters who may have their own business, so sort of like a mom and pop shop. From the standpoint of a job seeker, you don't care who is looking at it, as long as there's a recruiter who has an opportunity for you. So I would strongly suggest putting your resume out there on a blog. Secondarily, you can also use a site like about.me, which is, as it sounds, A-B-O-U-T.me. And what about.me is a personal branding site, not really a full-fledged website. You can sort of think of it as a business card on the web. If you want an example of what one looks like, you can go to about.me/Jim Stroud, J-I-M-S-T-R-O-U-D. And what you'll see is a picture of me. So apologies for that. You'll see a picture of me.
I saw it. It's a great picture. I think people would enjoy the site.
Yeah. And then, and on the right side, it'll say, it's going to where it's, hi, I'm Jim. This is who I am. This is what I do. And here are links to my blog. Here are the links to my YouTube channel. Here are links to other stuff about me.
Okay.
And so what that does is it gives Google something to work with. So if I'm a recruiter looking for free resumes or people with your particular skills, I can search Google a certain way and your information will pop up.
So you mentioned job boards and
yep.
the value of posting a resume on a personal blog, as well as sites like About Me, which are basically online business cards. What about mm-hmm. LinkedIn, Jim? Tell us about how important LinkedIn is in this process and how recruiters use it when they're doing these kinds of searches.
Sure. I have, as I mentioned before, I've been fortunate to train recruiters all over the world. I've been fortunate to attend conferences all over the world. One of the common denominators, no matter if I'm in the United States, or if I'm in Amsterdam, or if I'm in Singapore, all recruiters tend to use LinkedIn. There is a site called JobBite that does something called a social recruiting survey, where they survey different recruiters all over the world and ask them what are the top sites that they use to find talent. Invariably, since they've been doing the survey for at least 4 years, LinkedIn is always number one. So you have to have your profile on LinkedIn. I would say a profile on LinkedIn is more important than having a polished resume. I think if someone finds you on LinkedIn, contacts you, and you don't have a resume, that's a pleasant problem to have because you have to get their attention. So I would do a number of things to make sure I stand out on LinkedIn. Among those is, one, I would have a nice professional photo of myself. I wouldn't have a photo where I've cropped out my girlfriend or my dog or my kids or something. I want to exude professionalism. So I'm going to have a nice neutral background. Photo. I'm going to have a compelling headline. 8 times out of 10, when you go to LinkedIn and look at a profile, it's someone's job title and the company they work for. That is okay, but it's not the best. What you want to have is a compelling headline. For example, I'm thinking of a recruiting profile that I saw recently. And the headline for that recruiter was, I recruit Java developers for startups in Silicon Valley. That was his title. And so if I was a software guy who wanted to work in Silicon Valley, if I saw that person's headline, that's the first person I want to talk to. So the headline is speaking to me as a software developer if I was that person. So if you are, a super sales guy or something, you might say, your headline might be, the ultimate salesman wants to connect with you or something different.
Okay.
Yeah. And how that works is that LinkedIn, it helps you in the LinkedIn ranking. So for example, when anyone's doing a search for LinkedIn, LinkedIn is going to show you the results based on a number of factors. It's going to base it on the keywords that are on your LinkedIn profile.
It's going to base it on how complete your profile is. So it's important to have a very full profile with at least 3 jobs on it, your education, and at least 3 connections to sort of rank high on the front page. And then if you, as you come up in the search results, if every other search result is a job title at a certain company, and then there's, boom, your compelling headline, you're going to stand out. People are going to click on it. And more people that click on it, LinkedIn will think, well, because people are clicking on your profile more than the others, your profile must be special. So let me boost you up higher in the search results.
Okay.
Now, that's good for a couple of reasons. And then I'll go to the next point. It's good for a couple of reasons because LinkedIn is starting to change their services from the standpoint of recruiters. So they're charging more for their services.
Mm-hmm.
So the free stuff will always attract people to it.
Okay.
So you want to make sure your profile is at the top so that recruiters looking at it for free.
Okay. So you want to stand out and you want to make, so you want to get attention. And I know we, your second point that we talked about before the show was not only do you have to be found online, what you say about yourself matters a lot, doesn't it, Jim?
Oh, yes. That's
so let's talk about that. Once people have established that online presence, what do they have to say about themselves to speed up their job search and get that next gig faster?
Sure. Well, you want to get some good references and people to give you good recommendations on LinkedIn. That certainly works in your favor. You want to make sure that you brand yourself a certain way. For example, if I say Colonel Sanders, you're probably going to think chicken. If I say Bill Gates, you're going to think Microsoft or computers. Let's say Steve Jobs, you're going to think iPhone. So there's more to these people than chicken, computers, and an iPhone, but they branded themselves so well, that's the first thing they think about. So one thing you may ask yourself is, how do people know me? You know, if someone was looking for a skilled salesman and you sit next to them in church every week and they had a job and they filled it with somebody else and you found out, you could say, well, how come you didn't think about me? So, oh, I didn't realize you were a salesperson. You know, so you want to make sure people understand who you are and what you do. You definitely want to do that on LinkedIn. And then you want to do other things too to stand out. Here are a few ways you can do that rather easily. There is a site called Help a Reporter Out, and you can find out by going to helpareporterout.net, I believe it is. And what helpareporterout.net does is, it's a website that reporters use to find people to interview for their articles. I've been featured in a lot of articles over the years because of that site, and this is how it works. Someone says, I want to write an article about the latest HR technology in the country right now, how it's being leveraged to find job seekers. So they'll send out in the Help a Reporter Out newsletter, I'm writing a story about HR technology. I'll get that in email and see that this reporter is curious about it. So I'll reply back to that reporter because I got his information to their newsletter and say, hey, I'm Jim Stroud. I've been in HR for so long. I could probably answer your question for you. Reporter says, great. Let's set up a time. We talk. Hopefully I'll say something smart that'll impress them and get into the article. And then when they write the article, they'll say, according to Jim Stroud, who works at this company, blah, blah, blah. He said this, that, and the other. And boom, I'm in the Wall Street Journal, or I'm in the Daily Globe and Mail, or I'm in the Atlanta Journal and Constitution, or any other number of magazines, newspapers that I have been featured in.
Yeah, so all publications that are good for your brand. And
most definitely.
Yeah, so make yourself discoverable online, have a strong brand. I know your third tip, Jim, about how to find a job faster was not to think that you have to do it alone, but to work with a team. Tell us more about that, Jim.
Yes, yes. The hardest part about job search is feeling like you're all alone and suffering that way. What I always suggest, and something that certainly worked for me, is that you create a job hunting team. So what does that mean? Because think about this. Let's say you are a cashier at a Kroger's and you're looking for a job. So you think about all the people that you work alongside you. Like there's the guy who does the bags. There's the assistant manager. There's a store clerk. Maybe there's a janitor cleaning the floors or whatever. These are all people who work alongside you, but don't compete for the same job as you do. So you reach out and you find people that are looking for work that fit those different slots. And you say, hey guys, let's all work together. I am going to build a list of things I want to do, and I ask you to do likewise. So on this list would be search jobs on job boards. Another item might be to go to a particular career fair. Another item might be cold call into companies and ask about opportunities, different things like that. So you build up a list, and then you go to your team member. You say, team member one, you go to this career fair. Team member two, you go to that career fair. Team member three, you search the job boards, and I'll search these job boards. And then everybody goes out, handles their assignments, come back together and share intelligence. When someone on your team gets an interview, after they've been interviewed, you ask them, you have them ask the recruiter, hey, recruiter, thank you for your time. Can I get just two more minutes of your time? Recruiter says, sure. You're looking for me, obviously, because you're interviewing me for this job. Do you mind if I recommend to you three or four other people that you may have an interest in? Recruiters say, yeah, sure, why not? And so then you send a follow-up email to that recruiter, copying the members of your team, saying, thank you for your time, recruiter, for interviewing me. Here are the email addresses of people that I mentioned to you, John Doe, Sally Smith, what have you. And so what that does is it shows your teammate that you're working for them by getting them referrals with a recruiter who's actively recruiting. And likewise, they're doing it for you. So now you are expanding your job search, getting out in front of a lot of other people, doing a whole lot more stuff without spending gas, spending a lot more time. You guys are working together, so you get your job faster that way.
I love that example. And I know in many public employment offices or in churches and other faith communities or in professional groups, there are often job support teams or organizations. So if you're not, you don't feel like you can start a team on your own, there are opportunities out there to join teams that may already have been organized.
Definitely.
Yeah. Well, Jim, it's been a great conversation. Now tell us what's coming up next for you.
Well, next for me, I guess, is my book comes to mind because I'll be promoting that pretty soon.
Terrific.
It's the number one job hunting book in the world, available on Amazon. Please get your copy today.
Okay. Well, we'll be sure to include a link to the book. And I know we mentioned the title earlier, but that, again, is the number one job hunting book in the world, Job Search Strategies for Unemployed, Underemployed, and Unhappily Employed People. And people can learn more about you, Jim, by visiting jimstroud.com. And I know you've got a blog where you write about HR, job search, and technology topics. And I know you also encourage people to connect with you on LinkedIn, don't you?
I sure do. Come one, come all. All are welcome. Operator standing by. Send me a LinkedIn invitation. Let's connect.
Okay. Well, if you do connect with Jim after hearing this podcast, be sure to tell him you heard him on Find Your Dream Job. Jim, thanks for being on the show.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Take care. We're back in the Maxlist studio with Becky and Jessica. What were some of your key takeaways from my conversation with Jim?
I thought he had a lot of good sort of actionable tips. I think that people who are looking for a job and are like, I want to find a job fast, but I'm not sure how to get started. They sort of know that they need to become known and, you know, get in front of recruiters and employers and all that stuff, but they don't really know where to start. So I think that he gave some really actionable tips, you know, like here's how you can set up a free About Me webpage and get seen in search results more easily, you know, how to use LinkedIn, a lot of that sort of really actionable stuff I really appreciate, because I think a lot of times job seekers are just sort of paralyzed and like, I don't know what to do because there's so many things to do. So just pick one of those things that Jim mentioned and do it. And it'll give you, you know, it'll give you a head start on your job search. So,
yeah, I agree. It was really a lot of really good tips about how to just get started. And I liked that he focused on kind of a little bit on the personal branding side of things of, and this wasn't his main focus, but of being found a certain way so that you're not just kind of putting things out and then just hoping for the best, but you're being strategic and intentional about it. And, you know, making connections and those types of things, but being, having goals in mind and setting out to make them happen in a really, really key way. So I thought that was really good. And it was just a good, he had so much good information.
Yeah, there were a lot of pearls there. One that stood out for me was his point about job boards and resumes. Well, why should you go beyond, say, Indeed or Monster? And it had never occurred to me that recruiters are like everybody else. They have to work within budgets.
Right.
And it's possible that their company, or if they're self-employed themselves, are only have access to resumes on one or two job boards. So
right. Probably, there's only so many hours in the day, too.
Right.
Yeah.
So it might be a good use of your time to get on the top four or five boards. You want to be visible to all recruiters, not just those who have budgets for one or two sites.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Increase your odds. That's always
exactly
good.
Yeah. It's all about managing the odds in the end, isn't it?
That's right.
All right. Well, thank you both, and thank you, Jim, for joining us this week, and you, our listeners, for downloading today's episode of Find Your Dream Job. Here's another way to make your next job search go faster. Know your goals and your strengths. You need to know what you want in your next job, and you have to be clear about what you offer. Now, if you're struggling with what you want, or you don't know how best to describe your strengths, I've got a new resource that can help. It's called Finding Focus in Your Job Search. It's a free step-by-step guide to setting your job search goals and getting clear about your strengths. Download this new guide today. Go to maxlist.org/focus. Again, that's maxlist.org/focus. And join us next Wednesday when our special guest will be Kate White. She'll explain how to ask for the money and the opportunities you want in your career. Until next time, thanks for letting us help you find your dream job.